got married, he goes, are you going to sing now? I said, sure, I'll sing with you. And I belted it out, Gary, and he said, sweetie, I'll never ask you to do that again. True. Well, last week I had the little kids. You got your mic, Ken? Go over to Colton. Colton, Nana teach on sanctuary in Sunday school class, didn't I? What does sanctuary mean?
Holy place.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So these little kids, I was teaching, you know, every week we go through this thing where we're trying to teach the kids to reverence the Lord and to reverence the sanctuary. So during my class, I said, you know, when you walk into this church, when you walk in from the door to the cross, from the wall to the wall, this is the sanctuary. This is the physical sanctuary. We, as our bodies, are a sanctuary also, but this is the physical sanctuary. So I was trying to teach them what that meant, that it's a holy place separated, sanctified for the purpose of God and his worship and praise. So the kids, they understand more than we give them credit for. Up there in the sound booth, could you go to Leviticus, please? 19:30. Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Reverence is respect. It's profound respect and love in behavior and attitude. A deep respect or love in all, deeply felt and outwardly demonstrated. Constant awareness of God's presence. That's why when the kids come into the building, I'm actually doing some fundamental things right now, because you parents are accountable for the behavior of these children when they're young. So it's on you. So we should be teaching them to be reverent. That means there's no running. There's no eating, drinking, talking out of turn, those type of things. It's just profound reverence for the presence of God. And that goes for the adults, because we have adults that have never been church. They don't understand reverence. Sanctuary is a Hebrew word, mikdash, or holy place, a place separated and dedicated to God, a place chosen to meet and offer praise, worship, and the word. Turn to Psalm. Why feel a sudden brightness come over me? Psalm 89:7. In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared, and he is more awesome than all who surround him. In my Bible, it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence or in honor. Proverbs 28:14, read that. Proverbs 28:14. There we go. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. In my Bible it says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You know, we have a holy God. And because he is holy, we have to be reverent and realize that when we're in his presence and he is always with us, we are to be reverent. Now, I talked to the girls and the boys because, now this may offend some people. I hope it doesn't, but sometimes it does. Talk to the girls and the boys. about dressing modestly. Because reverence is not only in being reverent to the Lord, but how we speak, how we dress, what we do, what we say, what we do, and our appearance. So I told him, I said, when you're in there, up there on the stage, what you're trying to do is bring people into the presence of the Lord through praise and worship. I said, so I'm speaking to you guys, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, to talk to these children. Before, I remember one time, one of the girls, and I won't mention their name, there was marching out of the house going to church. Angela looks at one of them and goes, where do you think you're going wearing that? Go change. And that was his responsibility. That was his responsibility and mine to make sure that they dress appropriately. The Bible says for them to dress modestly with with reverence and respect and with moderation. You know, if you're seeing more skin than you're seeing cloth, there's a problem with that, isn't it, Phyllis? So I'm just setting some groundwork. Pastor doesn't like to go into it. She doesn't want to offend people. But I'm just out there. And that's just how it is. I'm just out there. So now that we've covered some basic stuff, and people's going to start wearing clothes regularly. All right. Now, I'll tell you another story. This is true. Angela, when our first date, back then they had what they called streakers, Phyllis. And we were standing at a theater going to go see the movie called The Sting. You guys remember The Sting? This was with Robert Redford. I think it's a PG rating. It's not bad. I'm standing in line behind Angelo, St. Patrick's Day. And a streaker runs up to me. And I'm going, oh, my God. So I take Angelo and I take his back and I shove it in my face. And I go, tell him to leave. And that's what he did. He said, you need to leave. So you don't want to see any of that. But that's in the day when they had streakers. He handed Angelo a garter for me. Well, guess what it said? Kiss me, I'm Irish. Did I kiss him? No, Ellie. No, I'm going there. Okay. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 through 6. You guys have a different... Well, we can do it in this one. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, this is the scripture that made me get into this. I thought, before Keisha, he even created the earth. He called me. He called Millie. He called Phyllis. He called Keisha. He called Kelly, Angela, Gary, Michelle. He called us to be holy. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Before he even created the earth, he called us to be holy, Mary, and blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship in Jesus Christ, accordance with his pleasure and will, to praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And I had to stop and think about that. Before I was, he wanted me to be holy, Ange. He wanted me to be set apart. So, you notice holy, his love, and his grace. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But just as he called you to be holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, when I read that, I thought, how in the world am I supposed to be holy like God? I mean, you know, he's God. And I'm supposed to be holy like him? Is that possible? And if it's possible, Phyllis, how do I do it? And you know what? It's possible, but it's a lifelong process. That's the secret. Don't get discouraged. It will take your lifetime to get there. So be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverence, fear. Be holy. Be respectful to God. Realize who he is, his nature. God's nature is his many attributes and natures. But one of the things that he is absolutely is he is holy and he is love. His essence is love. And because he's a holy God, he is our judge. And he judges us righteously. I was telling Angela, I said, you know, God is a righteous judge. He's not fair. What I mean by fair, people will look at situations, circumstances, and it may change their judgment. God judges out of righteousness, not because of out of what you did or what you didn't do, but he is a righteous judge. God is both merciful Savior and a holy judge. Look at reverent fear. Judges persons' work impartially. Now, people get all hung up about work because they say, well, you know, you can't be saved by works. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But faith without works is what, Phyllis? It's dead. So if that's true, is that a contradiction? No. See, if you have faith in God as your Savior, work is going to be a result of that faith. It's going to be a product. It's like cause, effect. Cause, effect. If you leave ice cream out on the counter, what happens to it, Keisha? It melts. Cause, you left it out on the counter. It melted. Effect. If you have faith, you're going to have works. Okay? So don't get hung up on that. Holiness is not something related to outward appearance, but holiness is directed to our inward nature. All right. How do I work that out, Keisha? And then I got to thinking, the word says that we're supposed to be partakers of God's nature. That's how I work it out. I have to partake of the Lord regularly. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for God, for a godly life. His divine power has given us everything we need for divine godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these things he has given us his very great precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. That means you have to deny your flesh. To get holy, you got to partake of the Lord. I have some containers up here. They're vessels. They're actually canning jars. See this one here? Angelo, this one clean? What's inside of that? Yeah? Is it clean? Is this? No? How about if I clean this outside? Phyllis, that's right. The inside has to be clean. So many people today in this world, they concentrate on their outside so much, they forget about what's inside of here. You know? And so they're unchanged. Their outside might look good. But inside, I actually got this from outside. So there's little ants in there and bugs and things crawling around. It's nasty. Don't touch that. Well, look, huh? There's critters in there. Can you see? It's possessed. So when someone comes into the church, right, and pastor gives an altar call, they stand up and they get, well, they accept Jesus. There he is. That's the blood of Jesus. It's in their spirit. Because we're made out of spirit, soul, and body. But they don't do anything with it. It's just, look what happened to it, Ange. Where is it at? Oop, it's sunk. Because they just let it lay there, dormant. Don't neglect such a great gift called your salvation. Now, another person comes into the church and they get the word. They accept Jesus. And they get saved. Well, they start working out their salvation. They read. They pray. They go to Bible study. They praise the Lord. They start doing the works. And they do all that. And they stir up the gifts inside of them. Now, Carson. Which one is different? What's wrong with this one? What's different between this one and this one? Less red, yeah. Less Jesus in there. Because it's a dormant, it's laying just dead. It's there. This person's fond of Jesus. They think it, and they go to church every now and then. They're hit and miss. They lay out. You might see them. You might not. This person. What happened to all that red? It permeated him or her. It went whole through them. It changed them. And so now they appear different. So Jesus, Angel, or the Lord, when he looks at a person, what does he look at? Does he look at their appearance? How they look? They look at their heart. Their heart. And the heart, believe it or not, if you study it out, is a combination of the soul and the spirit. The spirit is where God dwells. It's our God conscious. Their soul is our thought processes, our behavior, our emotions, those type of things. So he's looking at the heart. When he looks at this person's heart, what is he going to see? Sin, dirt, possession of ants. When he looks into this person, will he see a little bit of Jesus? A little bit. But did he do anything with it? No, his growth is stunted. When he looks at this person, what's he see? He sees his son. He sees his son. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, each one, so that they will receive what was done in the body according to what was done, whether good or bad. Look at 2 Peter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. So that no one can boast before him, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You can't boast in yourself. You can only boast in the Lord. It's not what you've done. It's who you became because of him. All right, now, let's look at John 17, 17. John 17, 17. I need to stay with the program for them. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I can't stress how important the word of God is in your life. You have to put it in you. You have to put it in you so that you'll grow, so that you'll be sanctified, so you'll be holy, so you'll know him. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates our body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God, out of our respect for God. We must perfect holiness. Do you remember when I told you that when you go through trials and tribulations, that sometimes when we go through those, there's four things that it accomplishes? Perfection, establishment, let me think, sanctification, and settles you. Those four things. God uses trials and tribulation to bring out the best in us. Satan will use those same things to bring out the worst. To bring out the worst. True story. Kelly was in the shower with me one day. She was getting more wet than I was. I had two hands in casts, and I had baggies on them. Mary remembers this. She's been in the shower with me, too. I had two broke hands. I couldn't raise my arm, and I was in excruciating pain. And I remember looking at her and said, Kel, with tears just streaming down, there is nothing left to me. I'm standing before you naked and helpless and humiliated. Michelle went through that. From that point, God starts building you. Starts building you back up. And I think the biggest change through trials and tribulation is how close you get to him. I'm almost done. In fact, I am done, except for this. I wrote this little thing as an ending. I'm going to let Pastor Kelly and Pastor Angelo close. Life is a miracle. Death is inevitable. Judgment is for all. Christian and non-Christian. Life eternal with God is a gift by grace through faith in Jesus. Hell is eternal as a result of living separated from him your whole life. Angela and Kelly, you want to close this?
What does something like this say when you hear something like that? I want to say one thing to you. Lord, help me to redeem the time because the days are evil. If there's anybody in here, this message has affected you and you just want to have a moment with the Lord, stand up and I will pray. I mean, not all at once. Father, in Jesus' name, as people are standing and praying, they're judging their hearts by what they just heard, by the word they just heard. I'm standing because I need to stand too, Lord. We need you, Father. Help us not to waste too many days. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to realize that really we could go at any time. So many leave this life every day. These people that were honest enough to say, this was for me. Help me, God. Lord, Father, help them. In Jesus' name, amen.